Remember to Forget is the catchy title. Because this last year, what do you want to forget in 2020? Actually, that's a question. So, you know, a little interaction here. We got an intimate family meeting. So, what, Sheila, you're the death of a friend here just last night. And, you know, what are some other things that you would like to forget from 2020? What's that? The coronavirus, the lockdowns, the fact we can't eat in church. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. But that has affected an awful lot of our lives, has it not? Election, you know, just madness about election that continues. It's the gift that just keeps on giving. And it's going to stretch into 2021. Other things. We've had some other deaths in the church family. And just, you know, family, friends, but some major folks in our church family that we miss. You know, and that's hard, isn't it? Others. The cancers, the sicknesses, the disease, that's just, yeah, 2020 is, yeah, David. Folks that, you know, that's one of the things about living up here and health problems, folks that have moved away for health reason, and yeah, that's very good, son. Others. Don about cut his middle finger off, and I want to forget that he always showed me that middle finger. I want to forget, Kathy, the Army-Navy game. And where's that in that son-in-law? That better not be he better not become a son-in-law. The fiance that's in the Army. We've all have things that, you know, maybe we're not willing to share, but just looking back on any year, of course, there's good, there's bad, but especially this year, and a big thing with that coronavirus, that has influenced us. And sometimes we want to be able to forget that. And so that's what this is, a little bit of a message, a perspective, this final Sunday of this year. Next Sunday, we'll have communion and we'll look forward to the new year. So it's good to look back and remember the good, the bad, the ugly, and to put it in perspective. And so the big idea, and if you've got the notes, you have very complete notes. Some of you have asked for that, but you've got my notes. So you don't have to sit and scribble verses, but you'll see just a lot of scripture. But despite past sorrows in all our lives, God is always faithful. Do you believe that? Do we know that we know that we know that? Well, the scripture that we read, a rather lengthy in the middle of the book of Lamentations. How many of you ever heard a series of messages on Lamentations? Did you ever preach one? Did you preach one? You know, that's one of the, it's in God's word and there's a purpose for that. But that is a good, once again, I think sort of helpful. And most of us know the one verse. It's sort of the transition, that's sort of the word study, if you will, that we're looking at today. But Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, I believe, right at the time of the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem under the Babylonians, because God's people, Israel, had fallen away and all their disobedience and sin, God used, after my, sounds like the volume came up just too much, but God's, you disobey, and God used the Babylonians to punish them and the destruction of the temple. And so the way to understand this is almost a funeral dirge. It's five poems, the five chapters in Jeremiah, a five-part funeral dirge for Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and of course, the city of Jerusalem. And it's the way it's written, it's an acrostic. So if you will, the ABCs of the destruction. And Jeremiah is sometimes called the weeping prophet. So he literally cries from A to Z in our alphabet. And in fact, this one of the feasts, and we did the feast series on Tisha B'Av, which is July, August, the Jewish people looking back over all the persecution, the destruction of both temples, even in Jesus' day, some of the persecutions and the kicking out of the Jews and Holocaust, all these things that have happened traditionally on those specific days. It's a bad day for the Jewish people to remember. Looking back at things that we don't want to remember. And when we get to chapter 3, if you caught that first 20 verses or so, where Jeremiah, I believe, is sharing his personal suffering and his despair at what's going on for his people, for the city, but just, where are you, God? You've abandoned us. And if you get that to gravel, you've broken my teeth with gravel and ground me into the dust. Where are you, God? But then he starts, turns the corner to the trust and the hope. Despite what was in the past, we want to forget the trust and the hope in God's faithfulness because of God's past mercies. Knowing history, knowing what God has done, is something we can cling to in the midst of, not at the level of what Jeremiah is going through, but for us, seeing what's happened this past year, but yet God is faithful. And so sometimes we feel abandoned, and feelings can be very deceptive. It's not good to think with feelings, but they are real. Feeling abandoned and no hope. Why, God? Why would you allow this? Why 2020? Can we just wipe it off the calendar? Didn't need to buy a planner for 2020 because it was useless, right? But yet, because of who God is and his covenant and his faithfulness, love for his people, we can trust and know that we are not abandoned, that we have hope. You know, the why, God, but yet, in the midst of the sorrow and despair, yet we trust in God's faithfulness and hope. That was part of Advent season, that we, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first Advent, and folks, I, and I know you, have hope in his second Advent as well. So Jeremiah, you know, Lamentations, you know, seems like a strange book, but sometime we'll have to go through Lamentations as well. But for that one verse, the truth of God's faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. And I like this as, you know, Torrey, R.A. Torrey, one of those guys that writes books, you know, he has what's called the New Topical Textbook. I like this. Just sort of a little bit of a list here of just some scripture to remind us about God's faithfulness. Oh, yeah, we know that. But sometimes, do we really know it? Or do we just sort of, God, but let's get back to how horrible my life is. So, faithfulness of God. Folks, that's grounded in his character. God is consistent with who he is. In fact, that word, his faithfulness, comes from the root word where we get our, as you Baptists would say, amen. As God would say it, amen. But that's the same root word, the consistency, the reliability, dependable, unlike the false gods of that Israel fell prey to. And we started with this, if you weren't in the study this morning, we're going through the Ten Commandments. And number one, you shall have no other gods that are not reliable, not consistent. So, for example, Isaiah 49:7, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you, God's people. God is faithful, his people. 1 Corinthians 1:9, as Paul writes, God is faithful, by whom is faithful, so part of his character, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Once again, who we are in Christ, grounded in God's faithfulness. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So it starts with who God is, consistent. And what are some of those, if you will, the attributes of God's faithfulness? And this is where Torrey's list, I like that. First of all, his faithfulness is great. That's from Lamentations. They are new, his faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, that's that famous song you've probably never heard of is, Great is thy faithfulness. That That comes from the one verse most of us know from Lamentations. It is great. But God's faithfulness is established, grounded. Psalm 89, verse 2, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Folks, that's reliability. So when I look back at 2020, I don't like what I see in a lot of areas, but yet I trust God and his established faithfulness. It's incomparable. Anytime you're talking about God, you can use that adjective, right? Psalm 89, verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. Incomparable. It's unfailing. Later in Psalm 89, Psalm 89. Good for God's faithfulness. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. Sometimes it may seem like God is failing, or where is he? And that really tells us more about ourselves and our petty little concerns. But God's faithfulness does not fail. Paul in 2 Timothy, and if we are faithless, anybody in here ever been faithless? Every hand just went up virtually. Virtual Zoom meetings, everybody's hand goes up. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then God's faithfulness is infinite. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. It just the description to me, just the sort of proof text verses I know, but just helps me, I know, have something solid to cling to. And then a lot of these overlap with everlasting. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. And so while God's creation, there's an earth out there, God's faithfulness abides. And so then what is our response to this? Well, for one thing, it should be dependence on the God who is faithful to his people. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God, commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. We show our humility, our dependence, our recognition of our sin before a holy God by trusting in him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the next chapter, he talks about how do we show our humility before God? By casting our care on him, for he cares for you. And so that's depending on the God who is faithful, dependence. But also, folks, we should be proclaiming it. We are the salt and light. This is a family meeting here for us to go out and share that good news. So it should be proclaimed, Psalm 89 again. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. And in Lamentations, couple of verses, there were three goods in verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, relying on him, to the soul who seeks him. So that's good. But then it is good that one should hope and wait quietly. Folks, there's the patience. How many of us, it's tough sometimes to be patient. You know, I think I have the spiritual gift of complaining, right? But there's where patience and trusting, which shows quietly, doing our part, standing against evil, sure, but ultimately patience in God. That's good for the salvation of the waiting quietly, for the salvation of the Lord. And then verse 27, it is good for man to bear the yoke of his youth. And so in other words, the hard discipline, the things that happen in our lives, that, you know, that which does not kill us makes us stronger type, but with God in our lives, preparing us in this fallen world, 2020, preparing us in this messed up world for that ultimate trust and hope we have. Folks, that to me is encouraging. The long view, you might say. And that's one of the songs, Be Still My Soul. Just patiently. And that's, patience is a virtue, right? Some of us don't have that virtue. So, in 2020 then, those things we want to forget, but how are we focusing our lives? And what then should we be remembering from 2020? Because part of what, you know, just using Lamentations almost just a proof text, the one verse, but the picture of what Jeremiah and Jerusalem and God's people, Israel, were going through. But there's something bigger and better. So the things to remember, folks, for us, and you know this, and I just want to encourage not only myself, but you, the things that we remember are greater than the things we want to forget. Because the truths and comforts of God's Word, and one of the reasons I love this church family is gathered around God's Word on Sunday mornings to hear. And so last year, you know, disrupted by and changed by the planner that we didn't have, the preaching calendar, throw it out the window, right? But we started off the year, and we'll be getting back in 2021, back to our study of Hosea, the curses and judgments of God, rightful judgment for sin. But then Hosea talks about the blessings and salvation because of God's covenant love, that grace of a faithful Father. And so deserved punishment, deserved for Israel in particular, but getting the justice we deserve, but yet God being faithful in the hope we have. And then we had the whole coronavirus thing, and we over Easter when we didn't get to meet, I mean, that was hard on Easter Sunday, did that little series on one way to the cross from the Last Supper in John chapter 13 to the resurrection, the Easter story. So from the Gospel of John, folks, what starts off the horror of the cross, but the resurrection of Easter Sunday. We looked at a bunch of psalms and talked about victory and deliverance. One of the psalms was suffering with hope. One of them was the good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And so how a shepherd takes care of the sheep in the midst of the dangers and the enemies of a world. Then, this, you know, this scratches my itch, but big words from a big God. And we looked at some of those theological terms, those heavy-duty terms that we're not going to throw around in casual conversation, but I would submit that as God's children, we should understand the concept and be able to explain. But those big words, propitiation, redemption, atonement, all those words that describe the richness of God's salvation in our lives. Once again, people who don't deserve grace and mercy, but because of what Christ has done. And so Advent, we've this series here before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, which if you were here, wasn't that, that was a wonderful service, and Pastor Randy and Pastor Jim, just, it was fun. This was crowded, it was nice. We weren't socially distancing. I had to call the police and, excuse me, sir, could you arrest these people for, yeah, you're the chief offender. But the advent of the hope, the peace, the joy, the love of a traditional advent, folks, that is something to remember. So God's word, but then folks, at least in my life, and I suspect in many of you, the fellowship of a community of Christians. That sounds like a good name for a church. Why don't we call it the Community Fellowship of Christians? But the fact that we could get together in freedom, for the most part, folks remembering this local church family and who we are together in Christ. That warms my heart. You know, some of you I think of as crazy uncles, but I love crazy uncles. And yeah, we'll leave that there. Folks, so like a lot of things in Scripture, preparing us for eternity. Like those goods in Jeremiah, discipline, patience. It's not always pleasing in our lives, is it? But yet, it helps us to hopefully appreciate, once again, what we deserve. Sin, folks, is worse than we think it is. And what God has done for us, grace. And it's all about Jesus. And so that is something worth remembering. And like we sang some good songs, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because 2020 will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And so just to take away, like I read in Psalm 44, let me read that again. Secure in the arms of a faithful Father. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us. The deeds you did in their days, in days of old, you drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted your people. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. It's not what Israel did, not what we do, it's what God has done. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, your face, because you favored them. Trusting in God's right hand, which holds the universe. I'd rather God have a hold of me than me trying to, in my feeble, self-righteousness, trying to hang on to him. So that encourages me. I look forward to 2021. It can't get any worse, right? No. Actually, I'm an optimist. Of course it can get worse. No, but I look forward to, and so next week we'll take a look at just hopeful looking forward and starting with communion. Despite past sorrows, God is always faithful. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Amen. Amen. All right, but if I can get a Baptist to say amen. Thank you, George. And it's all for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for 2020. And looking back and just the sorrows, the heartache, what a year. But we can see your faithfulness in the midst of it. Help us to be made stronger, looking forward with even more hope to being able to spend eternity with you. And as Paul says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain, yes, but to live is Christ. May we in 2021 be a shining little local beacon as the church, a fellowship of Christians in a community. Lord, help us to be salt and light to Park and Teller counties, our families, and indeed through the missionaries and just around the world, Lord, for your glory. The despair that the suicides, the things that have happened this last year, Lord, the world needs Jesus. Use us to be your ambassadors, your spokesmen to share that good news. And we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.